the book of John, we could pretty much look and read this book and come to the conclusion that John pretty much brings everything to a close that he wants to say in the last chapter that we just finished, chapter 20. He pretty much brought it all to a close, and it's almost like, as an afterthought, he thought of a couple more things that he wanted to impress his writers with. Something that Jesus taught them even at the beginning and at the end of their relationship with him before he went home. And as he writes these words out, it is with carefulness because he is certainly aware of the frailty of man and how often man tends to throw his hands up and say, oh, well, it's all over. We'll just go back to doing what we did before. And I don't know how many of you have been through some trials this past year, most of you probably, of one kind or another. Family struggles, loss of people we love, testings in our own lives, physically, mentally, emotionally. One thing I do know, that God is with us, and even in the midst of all the trials and the tests, he brings joy. And in the middle of all of that, he brings the enduring power of his Spirit so that we might live through it and that we might glorify him in it. There is nothing that glorifies the Lord more than when we are being tested and when we go through difficult things, that we give him the glory and we listen for what it is that he wants us to know and understand and respond to. So it's been a busy year. It's been an eventful year. It has been a blessed year. And it has been, I believe, a year wherein you have grown and I have grown, and we will continue to do so as God blesses and favors us as we follow him. That's his promise. And I believe in his promises, that God keeps his word. So as we come to this last portion, and it's the last chapter, chapter 21 of the book of John, I hope that what we started out to do has somehow affected your life. Because when I started, I said I wanted this to be a time when we got a fresh look at our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we fall in love with him all over again because of his love for us and the way that he came and gave of himself for us. And that we would learn how to walk with him more effectively each day. And I pray that that has been the case as we have studied this book. Now I'm going to give you just a little glimpse. I'm going to do something. I break my own rule. I've always had a rule in my preaching, and the rule was this. I never do topic preaching except in very special occasions. Now, I don't know if you know what that means. Topic preaching means I take a topic, go through the Bible, and then I preach what I believe God says about that topic. Normally, as you know, my preaching is taking a book of the Bible and going through the entire book, precept upon precept, verse upon verse, and learning what he's teaching us through that book. And that's why we're just finishing up John now. But I'm going to break my rule again, and I'm going to do it because I've been asked to do it. But I'm going to preach on the subject of prayer. And I've entitled the series that I'm going to be giving you, Touching the Invisible. And I want you to be very much in attendance to hear those, because prayer is one of the things that we struggle with. I see this in many Christians' lives. They struggle with prayer. When to go to prayer, how long to be in prayer, how should I pray, What do I say? What's this all about anyway? How come I don't get any answers? And just all kinds of questions. So we're going to look at that in depth. I won't tell you how long the study will take because I don't know. We will take it as we go. But we will begin first by talking about the fact that God expects us to pray. And we will be talking about that. All right, now in John 21, verses 1 to 14, Christ again appears to the disciples. As you know, we've already talked about him appearing before with the ladies at the tomb, also appearing on the road to Emmaus, also appearing in the room with the door closed with all but the doubter Thomas, and then later appearing again when Thomas was there and letting Thomas put his fingers in his hands and his hand in his side so that he would believe. So he's met with them before, he has spent time with them before, and that had all come to a close at the end of chapter 20. But now, John is writing again, and he's showing something very important. And I thought that the timing is perfect. Here we are sitting on the edge of a new year. And we're looking at what is it that God would have us do this new year. What should this ministry be? How should it be conducted? Where should it go? In other words, all the questions that we would ask, what does the new year bring for Lake Hills Baptist Church? And yet this passage, which is right in line with what we've been teaching all along, addresses that in one particular important lesson that Jesus wanted his disciples to learn. Not only now that he's going back, but we will see that he taught them this lesson at the very beginning when he first met them. And he's teaching them again that same lesson now. So don't feel badly if you've gone through something with God that he's been teaching you, and then all of a sudden you think it's all over and you've learned the lesson well, and then next year, what does he do? You go through it again. And you say, why am I in here again? Why am I have to learn this now? I thought I already learned all that has to do with this. And God is just taking you a little deeper in the same area, the same subject. And so that is exactly what he's doing here. And so what we find is that the ladies had told the disciples, go into Galilee because Jesus said he would meet us there. Go wait for him there in Galilee. So they did. They went down to Galilee, and they were glad to get out of town. They were glad to get out of Jerusalem because the pressure was on there. So they went down to Galilee, and they're down there waiting for the Lord to come, and they're not sure what's going on, and they're kind of sitting around not knowing what to do. And finally, Peter stands up and says, forget this. I'm going fishing. And so they, and others of the disciples, launched out into the lake and began to fish. And they fished. And they fished. And they fished. And there was no fish. Now I've known fishermen who say, it isn't the catching of the fish anyway. It's just getting out there and throwing a line in the water and so on and so forth. Well, I don't think that's what these folks were about. This had been their living. This is the way they made their living, by fishing. So this was serious business with them. And they're out there with their nets, and they just don't know what to do. There's no fish. And then that brings us to the first three verses, and I want to read them. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples in the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, well, we'll also come with you. And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. They're waiting. Jesus is coming. But we're just sitting here. Let's do something. And Peter had it. Let's go back to what we did before. Let's go fishing. Let's go back to fishing. Let me tell you something. Waiting on the Lord is always a hard thing to do. Because we are living in an age, particularly you and I, living in an age where everything seems to be, or we want to be, instant. Instant this, instant that. People make thousands and millions of dollars on being instant. You leave here and you go down to a place that you think is called fast foods. Why do you go there? Because you don't want to wait. And it's somewhat instant. And perhaps during the week you turn on the television and you start this program. And you know it's an hour long. So you know you don't have to wait any longer than an hour to get the answers to your questions concerning the mystery that's going on the program. Isn't it amazing how they can solve life's problems all within an hour? And we like that. We don't like things to drag on and drag on and drag on. We want instant answers. And these disciples are sitting there. They want Jesus there, and he's not there. And so, well, then let's just go back to what we did before. Let's go fishing. Let's at least be productive during this period of time. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever prayed and asked God for something that and you didn't get it right away? How many of you here get instant prayers all the time? No. Some, once in a while. But how many on average? No. In most instances, God says, wait. Timing isn't quite right. Situation isn't quite ready. And the only consolation you have is the realization that God is never late to anything. And he is never early. He's always on time. But it doesn't feel like it when you're sitting there waiting. And how many times have you said, well, God's not going to answer that prayer, I guess, so I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing and try to figure out this problem myself. You know, I've thought about it. I've talked about it with all kinds of my friends. I've got the whole church praying about it. But nothing's happening. So I guess I'm going to have to figure out another way to deal with this, since God is not answering my prayer. Now, perhaps had you gone to the book of Psalms, you might have read such words as, wait upon the Lord. Well, that's not something you really want to hear. I want the answer now. It's kind of like praying for patience. I want it now. But learning how to wait upon the Lord is a difficult thing for us as human beings, because we tend to see things as needing answers immediately, now, this moment, and waiting is just not in our thinking or our way of life. So we go about trying to do whatever. Now, it seems almost as if John closes his gospel in the chapter before this, but he brings this back for another reason, and the reason is this. there is a lesson to be learned. Here they are, they're in the boat, back doing what they used to do, and they're back there, and they're trying to be productive, and they're fishing all night long, and there is no fish. No fish, no fish, no fish. And as they're doing this, and dawn begins to come, they're coming back into the shore, and as they do that, they see Jesus on the shore. Now, I like this because you have two kinds of Christians here. You have John and you have Peter. Now, reading this scripture, we learn as the day was breaking, verses 4-6, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciple did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find a catch." So they cast. And then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. I don't know if you can picture this in your mind or not, but here's this boat, one side of the ship, not a fish down there, not one, nothing to get caught in the net. On the other side of the fish, so many fish you could practically walk to shore on them because it was such a number of them down there, just waiting for what? For a lesson to be learned. And what is the lesson to be learned? You cast your nets where Jesus tells you to cast the nets. You just don't go out fishing on your own. In other words, you can go out as a servant of the Lord, to serve Him with your own ideas of what that all means, and you will fish all night, and you'll not catch one fish. But if you listen to the Lord's direction and go cast your net where He tells you to cast it, you'll have so many fish you won't know what to do with them, and you won't even be able to haul them in. Did this ever happen before? Yes. When Jesus first met the disciples, in Matthew it's given to us, He went down to the lake, and they were fishing, and they weren't catching any fish. And what did He say to them? "Cast your nets over here." And He told them where to cast. They did, and the nets were so heavy they broke. And they couldn't get all the fish in. They had all the other ships come to help try to get this load of fish into shore. At the beginning and at the end of His relationship with His disciples, He was saying to them this in no simple terms: if you're going to go out and serve on your own, without Me, you're going to produce nothing. If you follow Me and listen to My words and cast your net as I tell you to cast the net, you'll have so many fish, you won't know what to do. You will have fruit. Now let's bring that back to everyday living. Each day that I walk and live and serve the Lord Christ in this world, if I'm listening and being led by His Spirit, directed by His Word, empowered by His in-living presence, there will be fruit that God will give as we cast the nets in the place He tells us to cast them. What is it he's asking for? He's asking for obedience from you and from me in our daily walk. And as we listen for his guidance and direction, as individuals and as a church, God will provide the fish. And we can be about the business that he called us to be about. Right in the middle of the toil, right when there's nothing there, there comes an appearance of the Lord. Right in the middle of having all this work done and having no fruit, the Lord walks into the situation and immediately there's more fruit from their labors than they could possibly imagine. And again, this is a lesson that he tried to teach them at the beginning and that he's trying to teach them again as he's getting ready to go home from this day forward. Remember he said, don't go out until the Spirit comes. Don't go try to do anything until you have the Spirit. Then, once you have the Spirit, you go out and you proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you go into all the world and you cast the net. And God will then give you the fish that you desire. You will be fishers of men. And that's what he had called them to. He did not tell them they could go back fishing again. Remember, he called them. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now they're back to fishing for fish. And he had to teach them something, that you don't make these decisions on your own. You follow the leadership of God and of Christ and of his Spirit. And God will then bless you. Now, I want you to bring that right down to your personal lives. I want you to bring that right down to you. Whatever your name is here this morning, bring it right down. All right? When I get up in the morning, what should be my first action? Thought. Well, first, it should be thank you, Lord, for a wonderful night's rest. And then show me today how you would use me in the lives of others that you will bring into the net as I go out today. And then, Lord, let me love them with the love that you put within me. It's your love, not mine. It loves all, both the lovely and the unlovely. It enables me to show Jesus Christ to a world that's hurting and that's in darkness, that needs light. And Jesus is teaching them one more time, it can't be done without me. What did Paul say when he said, I can do all things? I can just go out and do all things? Is that what he said? I can do all things through Christ. The indwelling Christ, through his leadership, through his guidance, through his word, through his love, through his compassion. We can just go down the list. And it's all because he lives within. I can do all things. Can't do it alone. I don't have the stamina. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the wisdom to do it. I don't have the knowledge to do it. But I have all those things in the presence of Christ who lives within me every day. Now here's the two guys, John and Peter, two different believers. I kind of just simply said, John is a man of vision. He sees things. And he's the one who looks over there at the shore and says, it's Jesus. Wasn't Peter. He's a man of vision, this John. He's the one who loved the Lord. He's the one who laid on the Lord's breast at the Last Supper. John, he was the one who was given the responsibility of taking care of Jesus' mother. John, a man of vision. Peter, however, was a man of action. As soon as he heard the words, he put on his raincoat and over he went. And he's going to be the first one to shore to be with Jesus. One saw him, the other one jumped overboard to swim to him, to get there first. Peter jumps. He forgets the boat, he forgets the fish, he forgets John. Why? Because the Lord is there. Because the Lord is there. How eager are we as Christians to come into the presence of the Lord? And how willing are we to be obedient to what He opens up to us and teaches us and shows us? Or do we hang back and say, well, we're kind of like Peter when he was hanging back and following Christ at a distance when Christ was going before the crucifixion into the council. Well, I'll wait and see how this turns out before I let anybody know I'm a believer. I'll find out, first of all, what they think about believers before I let them know that I am one. Or are we out there with Peter over the boat, the side, and we forget everything else, and more important than anything is to be in His presence, to know Him, love Him, and have fellowship with Him. I challenge you this morning. This is a very simple sermon. There's not that much to it. Simply this. Just remember, you can't do anything on your own. Two, if you're going to have fruit as a believer, an opportunity to cast the net, you're going to have to be obedient to what the Lord tells you and shows you. So that means time in the Word. That means time in prayer. And those are two issues that we need consistently in our lives as we grow and as we are used of the Lord and as we are carrying a message of hope to a world that's lost. I challenge you. You've got a new year in front of you. As I said earlier today, there's a book unwritten yet. What is going to be written in that book by the time we get to the end of 2016? Concerning you and your walk with Him. What's going to be written there? Are we going to look back and see things like, well, I know I should have said something, but I didn't? Or I know I should have said something, but I was a little afraid to do so. Or I know I should have served in this area. The Lord was telling me that I should have stepped up to do this, but I didn't. And I wished I had now. What are we going to find when we get to the end of the year? Or are we going to look back and say, took a bold step, and God blessed, and look what happened. I prayed last night, and God said, wait, and I will wait on Him. Because I know He has the answer to that prayer. I went in confidence before the throne of grace on this date. And I asked God for something impossible. Because He is the God of the impossible. And He's beginning to work it out. How I praise Him for that. I can look back over 2015, and I can look at circumstances in my own life where I didn't know what was going to happen next. This whole thing about the move that's going to take place in January and February, that wasn't even on the horizon in 2015 early. What's going to happen next? We never know what God has next for us. And why is He moving us? Well, He must need us down there in this little place where we're going to live. What for? Just to go down there and just live? Or are we going down there to be used of Him right there where we're going to live? You see, it's all in preparation. He's gone before. He already knows all of 2016. He knows every test you're going to take, everything that you're going to face, and He's already right there to meet the need that you have in that situation. Just remember, you can't do it alone. You have no power to do it yourself. It is His power. It is His presence, and it is His plan for you.